This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome everyone to the ILTA podcast entitled Litigation Support / E-Discovery Considerations During Mergers. My name is Ricky Broman and I am joined by Steve Heitz. I am the Litigation Support Senior Manager at Saul Ewing Arnstein & Lear. Steve, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Hey, Ricky. So before July 1st, 2020, I was a litigation technology manager at Pepper Hamilton, based in the firm's Philadelphia office. Since July, I'm still a litigation technology manager at the combined firm of Troutman, Pepper, Hamilton, Sanders, specifically with an eMERGE, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of the firm.
Awesome. And Steve and I have both gone through mergers in the recent past. Saul Ewing, on my end, Saul Ewing merged with Arnstein & Lear in the second half of 2017. And Steve, why don't you tell us about your merger?
Yeah, so our merger happened right smack in the middle of COVID this past July 2020. So that presented some unique challenges in and of itself, but happy to report that everyone made it out successful and we're up and running as a combined entity successfully.
Fantastic. Today, we're going to hit on six topics that really get to the heart of what you need to consider for litigation support and e-discovery as you're going through a merger. It's also applicable to an acquisition. And so we're going to work through those. We're going to start out with business continuity, move into technology and software, then move to data and document integration, touch on staffing and roles, cover normalization of standard operating procedures, and one of the most important things of all, soft skills throughout the process. We'll touch on soft skills here and there in the other five topics. We might not go in the order that I just recorded, but we will definitely cover all six topics. And at the end of it, we're going to reference a checklist that I just want to point out that we're going to have a key takeaway here as a checklist that you can use if you go through a merger acquisition. So let's dive right into it. Business continuity for electronic discovery as you're going through a merger acquisition is paramount to success, right? You need to continue to service your clients even during the turmoil of a merger or acquisition. The most important thing to do is keep your internal and external clients happy with high service levels and quality legal services. Always be mindful of, am I putting the client first? And you need to balance those needs for internal business improvements and consolidation as you're working through pre, during, and post-merger activities with the business needs and the client needs and making sure that you're managing expectations in terms of what your timelines are going to be, both on the operations side for the merger and also what you're doing for clients, right? And you need to make sure that you create some space for complaints and unhappy customers along the way. Maybe you're not getting an email out as quickly as you thought you would have because you're dealing with something on the operations side. So make sure that you receive that feedback and empathetically hear the needs of your clients because that's what matters. You need to keep the business going and that's what's bringing in the revenue. Steve, you want to touch on a couple points here?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the primary focus, especially during the early planning phases of the merger process, specifically as it relates to business continuity, is just to focus on minimizing the impact on internal and external teams. You know, once the merger happens, I still think it's important for the combined team to support their respective organizations kind of as they existed pre-merger, because obviously that's the easiest kind of path of least resistance post-merger in terms of servicing your clients and making sure they're all getting the services they need and expect. Now is a good time to consider making that leap. The merger process is a long and gradual one. So once the merger happens, it's important for the combined team to continue to support their respective organizations as they were pre-merger. As business continuity is the top priority during a merger, expect changes to workflows and existing cultures to be a gradual process. But with that being said, if there's an opportunity to make a sizable change that will ultimately benefit the combined organization, now is a really good time to consider making that leap.
Absolutely. And I think that dovetails really nicely into our next high level topic, which we're going to talk about technology and software. As everyone's well aware, when you bring two different teams together, two entities together, you're likely not going to have the same technology stack. And you will need to work through those challenges of consolidating software, but at the time that makes sense and at the pace of change that's going to make sense for both organizations and also your end users, right? Because you need to continue to service those clients with existing technology, live out certain contracts, and understand that there's going to be practical and logistical considerations to consolidating software and technology. And it might not happen overnight, and that's okay. And you need to create space for that. And make sure that leadership understands that it's going to take resources and establish a timeline to consolidate those technology platforms, to re-educate your user base if you're getting rid of, let's say, a document review platform in favor of another one. And of course, remediating legacy systems, because at the end of the day, we're all very focused on business continuity, but you also need to make sure that you're not sacrificing information governance. And in the long run, you're going to need to remediate old systems and make sure that you don't have stale data lying around in old platforms that you need to sunset. And so there will be challenges along the way with consolidating technology and software, but it starts at before the merger or acquisition to really talk about what technology is going to look like in the future and start working toward that goal and create a goal and create a roadmap for consolidating your technology. Steve, you want to touch on this too?
Yeah, I think you've hit on all the high-level points, Ricky. I think the most important thing with the technology and software aspect of the merger process is that it really needs to align with the overarching plan of leadership and the role that technology and software is going to play in the combined organization. A couple of key considerations that people might want to consider: does one team outsource a lot of their work versus the other that might handle the majority of projects in-house? What does that look like when combining the organizations? And what is the business plan for the combined team moving forward, right?
Absolutely, I agree. And you know, with technology and software, you have what goes in and what comes out, data everywhere. And the documentation associated with how you're using these platforms, training guides, evidence, logs, processing reports, you name it, right? There's a ton of data and a ton of documentation that you're going to be integrating as you go through the merger. And consolidating and integrating those data sources, whether they be network drives or cloud repositories, you need to do it in a way that drives sound information governance and balances the business continuity. It might take you a little bit of time to remediate legacy data sources, and you need to manage those expectations, right? Because you don't want to rip off the Band-Aid for maybe one side of the house that's used to using a certain network drive to store client files. It will be a gradual shift over to the new normal of here's the shared resource, the shared drive that we're using moving forward in the new entity. And it's going to take some time to get people comfortable with that. Did you Absolutely. Encounter that, Steve?
No, I completely agree. So I think, you know, where there is overlap in the combined team, there lies an opportunity to kind of review and refine standard operating procedures, which we'll discuss in a few minutes. But the overall merger process is a long and gradual one, but the quicker you can review and refine the standard operating procedures that you have in place for technology overlap, the better it'll serve both teams and be able to serve clients moving forward.
Absolutely. And there's going to be a learning curve. And I think, you know, Steve, you mentioned on normalizing standard operating procedures. And I think that is a good next topic to hit on. As you work through the merger, you're going to have two sets of standard operating procedures, one from one entity and one from the other. And you're going to have to come up with the kind of the holy grail of what the standard operating procedures are going to be moving forward between the two of them, between the two entities in what becomes one entity. And clearly communicating what their standard operating procedures are and providing some time for Q&A and feedback to make sure that everybody understands and is fully bought into those new normalized operating procedures is going to be important for your success.
For sure. Yeah. And just to piggyback off that, I think there's going to be chances and opportunities for workflows that come natural to one side of the department or the team and may not be so natural for the other side. But that lack of internal knowledge really shouldn't be viewed as a negative during the merger process. I think this can really be looked at as an opportunity for kind of fresh eyes to review and revise existing SOPs, just to make some updates that previously may have gone unnoticed, or because one team was so used to doing something a certain way, they didn't really reference the guides anymore. But during the merger process, I think you could agree that those standard operating procedures and guides on typical workflows become all the more important.
Absolutely. And I think that you need to be mindful of the fact that just because you're moving to a new normal doesn't mean the old system wasn't good, right? You need to be cognizant not to either take it personally on the one side or not recognize the emotional impact that might have for some people as they really try to revamp what they're doing on a day-to-day to adhere to the new standard operating procedures. And for that reason, I think it's important to solicit input from both sides, right? There should not just be a dictator voice saying, this is how we're doing it moving forward. You really need to provide space for everybody to provide input.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think one other thing you could do kind of as a combined team and just keeping communication open is hold trainings both pre and post merger for both of the combined entities for workflows that might be unfamiliar for one of them, right? You know, I think this will help set expectations, but also provide the team useful knowledge so that once that merger date hits, they can hit the ground running and feel comfortable with what they're doing and why they're doing it.
Absolutely. And as you're going through the merger, you're going to probably find that just like operating procedures might overlap and need to be consolidated, same thing with staffing and roles. Even if you find that you don't need to let anybody go, you're probably going to need to at least redefine roles and responsibilities and make sure that everybody's clear in terms of what their role and responsibility is in the new organization and clearly communicate that. You need to make sure that everybody in this process feels included in the decision-making process, that they have some input, and you need to manage the diversity in culture and team dynamics as you look at the roles and the responsibilities and come up with an updated team dynamic, right? And anywhere that you're going to find overlapping positions, you're going to find yourself with a tough situation, but this is where you can get creative and really kind of put some thought leadership into what does a new path or opportunity look like for one of the individuals or more than one of the individuals that may not need to be the same role anymore, that they might need to take on a new role and responsibility.
No, for sure. I think as part of that same kind of process of identifying and redefining kind of roles and responsibilities, now's a really good time to also survey the team individually to identify personal interests, what they like doing, what they don't like doing, because there's probably opportunities for new areas of growth that may not have previously existed, to your point, Ricky.
And I think that's a fantastic point. Yeah.
And thank you. And additionally, in terms of any guides that you might have, so it might be time to either create or revise existing career development guidelines that just kind of outline a path that assists and kind of lets people know what they should be doing in order to hit the next milestone within their career.
Absolutely. And that requires, you're hitting on something that really dovetails nicely into what is going to be a topic we've discussed throughout soft skills, but we want to really cover and invest some time in now is you need to have human-centric leadership. You need to take those times to do the one-on-ones, to do the all hands, to make sure that you are hearing from your employees and from firm leadership so that you make sure that this cultural shift that's happening, you're patient with it. You're practicing empathy and mindful and embracing what will be the new culture in the new organization. And that takes an investment of time and resources. You need to be doing team building and diversity and inclusion moments to make sure everyone's needs are met and feelings are heard. And Steve, I know you and I have talked about this a lot, but communication is critical, right?
Communication's probably the most important aspect that both a leader can provide during a merger and also individual team members can provide each other during the merger process. So I think it's super important to be as transparent as possible. So that includes regular and proactive communication. You know, it's kind of an uncertain time going through a merger, especially for internal team members and staff that are a little leery about what's going to happen, whether or not there's going to be natural attrition. So as a leader, it's really our job to kind of make sure that or those concerns are put to rest. And communication is the only way to do that, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, change is hard and emotional. And by openly communicating with your employees, with your leadership, with each other, you're going to get there. Mergers are tough. There's no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, you come out stronger. Steve, do you have any concluding thoughts to share with the audience?
You know, having just gone through this merger process, I can say it's a long, drawn out process. A lot of change happens suddenly and kind of unexpectedly at times. But in the long run, hopefully the advice we're giving in terms of business continuity, how to approach technology and software, and the other topics that we've just discussed will provide a bit more of an outline and kind of a structured list on what to consider while you're going through this process. Because I wish I had this conversation, you know, about 7 months ago going through the process. So it's great to learn what you've gone through during the merger process, and it's been great to share my experience as well.
Absolutely, Steve. I appreciate your time today. Friendly reminder to everybody tuning in today. We do have a checklist that's a takeaway. It hits on these six high-level topics that we discussed today with a couple bullet points. It's meant to codify some of the tips that Steve and I have as you go through your merger. Visit it, look at it, and share your thoughts with the ILTA community. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Have a wonderful balance to your day. Thanks, Steve, for sharing your experience, and have a good one.
Thanks, Ricky. You too.
Cheers.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.